Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Zuari Industries Limited Q4 FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by MUFG Intime. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now hand the conference over to Ms. Darshini Desai from MUFG Intime for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and I extend a very warm welcome to all participants on the Q4 and FY 2026 earnings conference call of Zuari Industries Limited. Today on this call, we have Mr. Athar Sahab, Managing Director, Mr. Alok Saxena, Whole-time Director, Mr. Jatin Jain, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Yadvinder Goel, Company Secretary, and Mr. Alok Banerjee, CEO of Zuari Infraworld India Limited, a wholly owned subsidiary and the real estate arm of Zuari Industries Limited. Before we begin this call, I would like to give a short disclaimer. This call may contain some forward-looking statements which are completely based upon our beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. These statements are not guarantees of our future performance and involve uncertain, unforeseen risks and uncertainties. With this, I hand over the call to Athar Sahab. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Darshini. On behalf of Zuari Industries Limited, I would like to extend a very warm welcome to all the participants in today's call who are joining us today for the financial results discussion. I'm going to focus primarily on our annual performance, and when my colleague, Jatin Jain, speaks, he will talk about even the quarterly performance. We had a great year as far as our sugar business is concerned. We continue to demonstrate very strong and resilient operating performance. We achieved our highest ever crushing of 159.7 lakh quintal for the financial year. For this season, we reached a record of 163.7 lakh quintal. The best part was that we achieved the highest ever capacity utilization of 101.7%. We had a slightly lower recovery this year in financial year 2026 at 10.26% compared to the previous year. This was largely in line with the lower recovery trends observed across the region. Consequently, our production was marginally lower at 14.4 lakh quintal versus 14.7 lakh quintal last year. Although, if you look at the whole season, the production increased by 13% to 14.8 lakh quintal. Sugar sales was a shade lower at 14.3 lakh quintal compared to 15.1 lakh quintal in FY 2025, while our sugar realizations improved to 4,053 rupees per quintal from 3,894 per quintal in the previous year. Our ethanol business also maintained a steady momentum, with production increasing by 10.1% and sales growing by 0.7%, while average realizations stood at 62.6 rupees per liter. The power sales were a shade lower at 857 lakh units compared to 907 lakh units in FY 2025 because the mill was not operating during April of 2025. If I want to summarize the performance of the sugar division, I think just to reiterate, we have had the highest capacity utilization. The sugar realization was up by 4.1%, ethanol production up by 10.1%, sales up by 0.7%, ethanol average realization up by 1.1%. These are the highlights of our SP division, and I'm very happy to see the overall performance of the SP division. Moving on to our subsidiaries and joint ventures, Zuari Infraworld, which is our real estate subsidiary. It continues to make steady progress on our asset-light development management strategy. As you are aware, we are currently executing projects in Hyderabad, Kolkata, and Bangalore in India, and of course, one in Dubai. The aggregate GDV of all these projects in India is about 4,900 crore. This includes a residential project in Hyderabad, a mixed-use development at Panihati in Kolkata, the Advent Corporate Center office in Kolkata, and very recently, a plotted development project in Bangalore, which is marking our entry into that very important market. These projects are at various stages of development, and they are forming a part of the execution of our strategy of building a diversified and scalable development management portfolio. We continue to evaluate further DM mandates across South India and Kolkata. Our most important project in Zuari Travel, which is the St. Regis Dubai project, is now nearing completion. Because of the war and the difficulties in that region, there were slight delays in completion. The project now stands 98% complete. We have, as on 21st of May, received the building completion certificate from the authorities. And we are expecting the handovers to commence very soon. And my colleague, Alok Banerjee, who has joined the call today, will speak during the Q&A sessions if you have any questions about the Dubai project. Simon India, which is our engineering and construction company, it has continued to maintain its execution momentum during the year with completed projects of around 50 crore. They completed the prestigious fifth evaporator project at PPL Paradeep. They completed the 8,000-ton phosphoric acid project at tank project at PPL Mangalore. They have been doing residual engineering work at PPL Goa, as well as doing a few feasibility studies and design engineering projects. In addition, projects worth almost 95 crore remain under execution, including the TG4 project at PPL Paradeep and the sulfur melting and filtration facility project at PPL Paradeep. The business has continued to strengthen its technology and innovation capabilities through strategic partnerships with global technology licensors, along with collaborations with leading academic institutions such as NML Jamshedpur, IIT Bombay, and ISM Dhanbad. Moving on to our financial services businesses, both Zuari FinServ and Zuari Insurance Brokers have excellent years, financial years. In Zuari FinServ, the EBITDA grew up by more than 60%, and right now they are implementing a new tech platform to distribute a range of financial products. Zuari Insurance Brokers, the EBITDA grew up by 54%. They have shown a robust renewal ratio and also helped clients settle a number of insurance claims. Our bioethanol joint venture, namely Zuari NVN Bioenergy Private Limited, commissioned its plant on 1st of January 2026. The plant is currently under test stabilization. As you are aware, the OMC tenders, which were supposed to come the second and the third round, have not come yet. And we have some orders which will take us through until the month of October. There has been a lot of positive movement in the ethanol industry, and we expect the situation to improve substantially and the OMC tenders to come up in the coming quarters. As far as our investment portfolio is concerned, we continue to maintain our strategic investments across our portfolio, including Chambal Fertilizers, Zuari Agrochemicals, Paradeep. Paradeep is actually held below Zuari Agrochemicals. We also hold equity in Texmaco Rail and Engineering, as well as Texmaco Infrastructure and Holdings. Deleveraging ourselves has been one of the core objectives, and we have been working towards it. We believe that the inflow from Dubai project, which will begin later this year, will help us significantly deleverage our company. We are also working on some plans to deleverage ourselves further. Looking ahead, I think the macroeconomic situation, of course, is a concern to all of us. It is affecting CAPEX plans, both in India and the Middle East. So that's a concern. It has also increased the input prices, even for our sugar business. So we will have to watch that carefully. Sugar prices are expected to remain stable in the near term as closing stocks are estimated at about 5.6 million ton, which was 5.3 million ton last year, which is equivalent to about 2 months of consumption. While stagnant ethanol prices have continued to put some pressure on profitability, we remain quite optimistic, as I said earlier, about the sector outlook. We are also expecting that the much-awaited revision in ethanol prices will come about. It's been long overdue, and industry has made several representations to the government. As I mentioned in our previous calls, we continue to evaluate inorganic growth opportunities across our businesses. Even as we continue to adopt digital solutions across our businesses to improve our efficiency and streamlining our processes. So, ladies and gentlemen, broadly, this is the sense. You have seen the results, I hope, and also gone through the investor presentation. And in the interest of time, now I would like to invite my colleague Jatin Jain, CFO, to take you through the results, and then we will have the Q&A. Over to you, Jatin.
Thank you, sir. And good afternoon to everyone. I will begin by providing a review of Zuari Industries' performance. On a standalone basis, the company reported a total income of 995 crores for financial year 26, while EBITDA stood at 191 crores, up 6.8% from financial year 25. Profit before tax before exceptional items stood at around 54 crore rupees for the year, up 70% from financial year 25. Profit after tax stood at 12 crores for the year against a loss of 37 crores. We have lowered the finance cost by 11 crores on an year-on-year basis. Finance cost is 111 crores versus 123 crores in financial year 25. On a consolidated basis, the total income stood at around 1,155 crores for financial year 26 versus 1,082 crores in financial year 25. While consolidated EBITDA stood at around 181 crores, up 12.2% from financial year 25. Profit before tax, before exceptional items, stood at 131 crores for the year against a loss of 67.8 crores. Consolidated profit after tax stood at around 105 crores for the year against a loss of 94.4 crores. The company continued to benefit from improved operational efficiencies, financial discipline, and lowering borrowing costs during the year. Lowering of finance costs by 19.4 crores on a consolidated basis. I just give you a highlight on updates on the subsidiaries. In terms of our subsidiaries, the major subsidiary is Zuari Infra World India Limited. The total income grew by 78% on an year-on-year basis, and it has delivered a stable return during the current financial year. For Simon India Limited, the Q4 income surged to 29.8 crore compared to 8.9 crore in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. For the financial year, total income stood at around 89.4 crore, making a significant increase from 18.8 crore reported in financial year 25. The company achieved a strong improvement in full year EBITDA, rising to 6.8 crore from 0.9 crores in financial year 25. For our Zuari Sensors, the total income increased to 20.1 crores from 19.3 crores in financial year 25, reflecting a growth of approximately 4.1% year-on-year. Financial year EBITDA stood to 5.6 crores compared to 3.5 crores in financial year 25, registering a strong growth of 60% year-on-year basis. For our Zuari Insurance Broking Limited, the gross written premium for financial year 26 increased to 99.4 crores from 91.2 crores in financial year 25, registering a growth of approximately 9% year-on-year basis. Brokerage income for the financial year stood to 10.2 crores compared to 7.3 crores in financial year 25, reflecting a strong growth of approximately 40% year-on-year basis. So, I have given a snapshot of the performance of my subsidiaries. Now, I hand over the call to Darshini. We can move ahead.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Santosh Shetty from LGC Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
So, sir, my first question is that our Zuari Punzav and Zuari Insurance Brokers have both delivered strong operational improvement. What are the key strategic priorities for scaling this business further?
I think we are looking to expand the customer base in both the businesses. We believe that there are multiple opportunities for both Zuari Finserv particularly in the area of financial product distribution. Historically, we have focused on broking, but we believe that the scope for distributing a whole range of financial products is quite immense in the country. India has become a sophisticated market for financial products, and we want to leverage technology, and we want to offer this range of instruments to our investors, actually. So that will, to my mind, be the bedrock for growth in Zuari Financial Services. As regards insurance broking is concerned, I think this is a market which has grown very rapidly. Historically, if you evaluate the performance of Zuari insurance brokers, it's always been quite profitable. But we believe that there is a lot of room for growing our consumer business as well as corporate business. So traditionally, we have been largely a corporate insurance broker. And that, of course, that portfolio we will try and grow. But we will also see what we can do on the non-corporate side. And I think the entire ecosystem, particularly in North India, is very ripe for entities like Zuari Insurance Brokers. And therefore, we reasonably expect that they should grow their business.
Okay, thank you. Just another question. Management has highlighted deleveraging as a key focus area. Beyond the expected inflows from the Dubai project and associate company, what additional strategic initiatives are being evaluated to further reduce debt at the holding company level?
I think that itself will, bring us to a very comfortable level. So we are not looking at raising any other kind of resources for deleveraging at this point in time. I think the inflows that we're expecting from Dubai and the associate company will bring us to a very, very comfortable situation.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir. That really helps. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Viren Patel from Balaji Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Sir, I'm Viren Patel. I have two questions. One is regarding the deleveraging. Can you let me know what kind of deleveraging you're looking at? Because in the last one, two quarters, I've been hearing that this will be deleveraged every quarter. You give assurances that this quarter the debt will come down. So investors are always keeping hopes that deleveraging will happen. So far, it has not happened. So how sure you are that this quarter the Dubai amount will come, and can you highlight how much money, deleveraging will happen this quarter?
I think we have been making very fact-based statements in our calls and telling you about how the projects are progressing. And this is on the basis of a real project that we have done in Dubai. And I would like to invite my colleague, Alok Banerjee, who is the CEO of Zuari InfraWorld and who has been handling the Dubai project. So, Alok, would you please give a heads up on where the project is and by what time should we expect to bring in the funds from Dubai? Alok?
Yeah, thank you, Atul. Good afternoon. So as you know that the Dubai project is, the cornerstone for us to generate these cash flows. And I'm happy to say that in spite of the West Asia crisis that we are going through, we received the building completion certificate just about a couple of days ago. So now, since we are 100% sold out, we have sold it on a payment plan wherein 50% was collected during construction and 50% will be collected post getting BCC, which is a building completion certificate. And now, as we speak, we are raising the demand letters on all the customers who have purchased. And we expect that about 850 to 900 crores should flow into us over the next 6 months. And we see that as a reality and hoping that nothing economically or in something else happens in the world. But otherwise, this is a completed project. And now also I'm glad to inform you that we use the St. Regis brand, and Marriott has recognized this building as the best St. Regis building outside of the U.S. in the residential sector. So we are, so as we speak, we are quite confident that this money should come in as the customers start paying up.
So, sir, this 850 crore will totally be used to repay the debt and bring down the debt, or some of it will be used somewhere else?
This amount will be used entirely for deleveraging. And I think the sense that we are getting from Alok is that funds should start coming to us in Q2 and Q3 of this year. And Alok, you have to tell us how much of the total inflow will you receive in this year. Alok, can you give that number for the benefit of
Right. That's what I said, that in this year, other than the small amount of retention money, so about 800, 850 to 900 crores should come in this year.
So what kind of debt we are looking after this, after receiving this amount? What will be the net debt?
I will answer this question. So after considering the inflows from the Dubai project of around 800 crores, considering the exchange price fluctuation and the inflows from our associate company of around 258 crore rupees, so we expect that our external borrowings will be in the range of around 700 and 800 crores, which we are able to manage from our operations. Considering our sugar business is performing very well after considering the impact of 30 rupees in the SAP prices, so we will be able to manage it.
So at the end of this financial year, we'll be at the debt of, we'll be having that debt of 700 crores. Is that, I heard it right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. My next question is regarding the strategic investments we have. I've seen that 20% reduction has happened in the total investment. So what's happening in the entire group? Because the entire group, I see it's not performing. So as a Zuari group, do you have some issues regarding the performance of all your companies, because the value of all your investments have gone down by 20%, which is around 1,000 crores. So what's can you highlight me about what's happening? As a shareholder, where do we see that?
Mr. Vinay, I think if you have had the chance to see the or review the performance or participate in the calls of our companies, they have all put up exceptional performance. Both Paradeep Phosphates as well as Chambal Fertilizers have put up exceptional performance. We do not comment on the share prices, and share prices are subject to multiple things, which I do not want to comment about. But I think operationally, both the companies have put up an excellent performance. I think overall in my portfolio, all the three major companies, which is Chambal Fertilizers, Paradeep Phosphates, ultimately, and Paradeep, of course, is not directly owned by us. It is through Zuari Agrochemicals. And we have little bit
of percentage of 0.06%.
Very small shareholding directly in PPL. And our company Texmaco Rail, all of them have done quite well operationally. So that's all we see. And as I mentioned earlier in previous calls, they're all strategic investments, very important for the country. We are present in all these strong sectors that the country requires. And operationally, we are very happy with their performance.
Sir, last question about it. As you said about all the companies have performed very well. Just go through what has happened with Texmaco Rail. They have just made a provision of 700 crores in their balance sheet. So I think Zuari in the shareholders, industry have been major shareholder in the company. And as a shareholder, our share price has been from 400, it's come down to 250. So all these things is indirectly hurting shareholders like us. I just want management to look into it, and you should think about what is happening actually, why the value is not going.
Thank you very much. We continue to do that. Jatin, you want to mention about the fact that Texmaco Rail...
I just need to mention a fact, because this Texmaco Rail is a strategic investment. We are holding it, but we are not consolidating this investment in our consolidated financial statements.
Okay.
We are holding this investment as a strategic investment.
There is one more project in Delhi which is coming up, which are some of your group companies. Can you highlight about what is, which are that project?
I think that question is best asked to that company, Texmaco Infra Holdings.
Okay. Is there any project coming up over there in Delhi?
Yes, they have made announcements about a project coming up in Delhi.
What's the status of that?
I think, you know, this best asked to the management of TIHL.
Okay, thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Gunjan Modi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, very good afternoon. So my question is regarding Goa land banks which we have, and I guess we have transacted the Zuari Agro during the period of 2012.
Gunjan, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but there's too much of background noise coming from your end.
Okay, I'm audible now.
You
I'm
are
audible
order.
Now.
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is regarding the Goa land banks, which we transacted with Zuari Agro during the period of 2012 to 2016. I just wanted to management to answer the or assess the value of those land banks. Do you see any value left since the political crisis which began in Goa, I guess, since last 2 years? And do you plan to deleverage from that or anything?
Yeah, then I will answer this question. So currently, Zuari Industries is holding around 260 acres of land parcel, and the value in the books of account is around 163 crore.
And to add to what Jatin said, I have highlighted the difficulties and challenges in Goa as far as monetization is concerned. So we are not factoring any monetization in our future plans as of now.
My next question was regarding Dubai project. What was the investment capex that we done and what is the profit out of this? We have heard of the cash flows which is coming out. Just wanted to understand the financials of the project.
So while Jatin and Alok can talk about the investment, I can tell you that whatever numbers that you're hearing is the share of the profit that Zuari Infra World will get from the project. Alok and Jatin, you may please provide more details.
Yes. So, yeah, Gunjan.
And Alok, maybe Alok can speak.
Yeah. So, since we are a 50% JV partner, our share of the profit, the estimated profit post-completion should be around about 600 odd crores, which will come, and the capital invested was around 275 crores. So that's why it makes up about 900 crores of cash, which will come back to us.
Got it. Do we see any currency risk playing out here?
No, we are, you see, the rupee is depreciating to our advantage, and we are monitoring it very closely. We are, if necessary, we'll take forward covers. But since we invested long back, we're only, as rupee depreciates, and all predictions are that the rupee will continue to depreciate. So we are monitoring the market. We don't see currency as a risk.
Got it. And any chances of investors backing out given the investment climate in the complete Middle East and UAE?
Keeping our fingers crossed, but we didn't find anybody actually writing to us so far, and we are bullish that we will, and that nobody will back out.
That's all from us. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Pahal Sharma from DD Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. So I have a set of questions with me. First is that despite achieving a good cane crushing during the year, sugar recovery remained lower YOY. So like what operational initiative is management undertaking to improve recovery rates in the upcoming season? And also how much of this is controllable versus weather or regional factors?
I would invite my colleague, Mr. Alok Saxena, who is our whole-time director and unit head of the Sugar, Power and Ethanol Division. Mr. Saxena, would you like to answer this?
Sure. Thank you. The first of all, I would like to divide this into the two parts. One, we have started our operation very early. That is in the last week of October itself. Though we did it last year also, but this time we crushed more cane as compared to last year, and the early part recovery is low, so weighted average is a low. That is one part. And second is the agro-climatic condition. It depends mainly on sugar recovery. And if you compare it with our region for other factories also, so we are at the best. The drop is minimum in our case, and our varietal replacement program is doing well. And we have already achieved it a 238 variety, which we are in process of replacing it. So we have achieved it significantly. So we think that we will overcome in time to come.
So to add to what Mr. Saxena just said, when we did the analysis of nearby units, we found that we had done reasonably well, and we were fourth in the pecking order in a list of about 14 units nearby, which is not a bad performance as far as overall sugar recovery is concerned or whole percentage is concerned. What are we doing to, and how many factors are controllable and non-controllable? First of all, I think we all are affected by the climatic risks. We have unseasonal rains, sometimes we have floods, so they are quite uncontrollable and very difficult to predict as well. A few years ago, we had a major problem of red rot disease that impacted the previous crop of 238 variety, and as Mr. Alok Saxena said, we embarked on a multi-year plan to replace that variety with newer and higher yielding varieties. And the varietal replacement program is such that it takes a lot of time to implement. But we are doing that, and we are doing that by also educating our large farmer community. So we set up a number of demo plots in our area, and we actually showed to the farmers what kind of yield they can get from these newer varieties. So that has gone down quite well with farmers, and we expect that these newer varieties will get propagated in larger areas in this season and the next season. Second is that we are now relooking at our whole strategy of providing agri inputs and agri implements in a very scientific manner. We are also monitoring these things through our app, which is the Saksham app. Now a large number of our farmers have downloaded the Saksham app. So the process of educating farmers and training them through that app is also going. We are also organizing some interesting round tables where we invite cane industry experts from around Uttar Pradesh and all over the country. And we found those discussions to be very beneficial, not only for us, but for many units in Uttar Pradesh. So I think these are the things that are in our control. And we are making sure that we do our 100% to improve the things that are in our control. And we remain hopeful that these efforts will bear fruit in times to come.
Understood, sir. So now the company achieved its highest ever capacity utilization this year, which is very great. So like from here onward, would future growth primarily come from operational efficiencies or capacity expansion or improved product mix?
I think you said it, and I think this definitely we will focus on our attention on improving our efficiencies. We have already achieved the maximum capacity utilization, as I think we could. Few years ago, it appeared very difficult, but I think the team at SP Division has done it and made us really proud. Our focus will now be on looking at what we can do in terms of steam consumption, in terms of our electricity consumption, or even chemical consumption, for example.
Optimize our
As I say, and as I speak about chemicals, let me also highlight that the last year has been very difficult and challenging. The chemical prices across the board, they were much higher than what anybody anticipated. So we will definitely focus on reducing our consumption of chemicals, steam, energy. As well as, you know, we continue to look for other opportunities in particularly in Uttar Pradesh, and we are looking for you know, another unit to complement the Govind Sugar Mill in Ayra.
Understood. And likewise, means ethanol profitability continues to remain under pressure due to stagnant pricing, right? So, like, at what level does the current pricing environment start impacting industry-wide capacity expansion plans?
Right now, we are not having any major expansion plan since Jwari has already having a joint venture in the Envian. So that is a grain-based ethanol. We are already in process. And for as far as sugar is concerned, we are capitalizing our plant by syrup diversion and B-heavy diversion instead of C-heavy. Though it may be slightly crucial, but it gives us liquidity, and that's why we are capitalizing our existing plant only. Presently, we are not having any expansion for the ethanol production is concerned. However, with the optimization of the capacity and maximizing, we are trying to maximize the cane crush, which is evident from this year's result as well.
So let me just add and do a little bit of recap of what we have done in our factory in Ayra. We have expanded the capacity to 125 KLPD. We also built in the flexibility to produce ethanol directly from sugar syrup. And since our sugar factory did not produce enough molasses to run the distillery throughout the year, we started buying molasses from outside. And if you see some of our previous year's performance and results, we have also reported that this opportunistic buying of molasses helped us run the distillery much longer than we could do it earlier. And I have said this in the past, and I repeat that our hope and aspiration is that we run the distillery for 330 days in a year. In fact, last year we have done a fantastic performance. How many days did we run it? 316 days, which probably was the highest ever performance.
Yeah. And the highest ethanol production of 372.
Right.
So 372 lakhs.
And whatever we have produced, we have sold. As far as Zuari Industries is concerned, we have not been short of orders, and we have been supplying to the OMCs. It's only in ZEBPL, which is our joint venture, when it got commissioned, it was expected that the OMCs will come when there's a second round and the third round of tenders, as is the norm. In the previous years, they used to come up with second and third rounds of tenders. But we found that those tenders were not coming. And we also saw, like probably you have also seen, that the overcapacity in the ethanol sector was quite significant. Against the 1,050 crore liters of tender that the OMCs came up with, the bids that came in to OMCs were about 1,800 crore liters. And we understand that now that capacity stands increased to about 2,000 crore liters. So it's almost like 100% over capacity in ethanol. And all of us have been quite worried about the sector outlook. But then the conflict in West Asia happened. And since then, we are seeing a noticeable change in the government. There is a lot of talk going on about increasing ethanol blending, and we have seen some recent notifications of E27, E30, even E85 and E100, I think, which are very positive signs. We have always maintained that ethanol is a very key component of India's energy security, and the government must push higher ethanol production to reduce the reliance on crude imports, as well as of course, to improve farmer incomes. And we were very happy to see how the Prime Minister himself noted on multiple occasions in recent times the importance of the role played by ethanol sector in reducing our reliance on crude imports. So we remain very positive about the long-term outlook. We are dealing at an industry level a problem of overcapacity, but I think as India embraces higher blends and we have vehicles hitting the market which can actually run on much higher blends, we should see complete dissipation of this excess capacity, and that will be very good for the industry. But till that time, as Mr. Saxena said, we are not looking to expand our capacity, but we hope that our investments would be really worthwhile in the times to come.
Okay, thank you. Thank
you. We take the next question from the line of Amit Mahendale from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My first question is on the Dubai project. I think if I heard it correctly, I think 50% of payout will be done by the buyer at the time of handover. Right. So what is the recourse that we have in case, some of the buyers back out? We have to go to the lands department and then file like a case and then take possession of the flat?
As Mr. Alok Banerjee mentioned earlier in the call, we have had no inquiries or no concerns from any of the buyers. So that's a very good news. That everything seems to be absolutely on track. And the question is largely theoretical. But nonetheless, I will request Mr. Banerjee to provide an answer to our question.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking for a recourse. Like, what happens if someone doesn't pay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Will it original 50? Yeah.
The law, as per RERA in Dubai, it allows us to forfeit 40% of the total apartment value and take back the apartment. So if somebody has paid money, we can forfeit 40% of the value and then resell the apartment to a new buyer. That's the law. We don't envisage it, but that's what the recourse is.
Right, and that process typically would take about a year for whatever units. I mean, if small,
we don't really,
even if 5%.
Yeah, even if we don't really know the timeline, to be honest, because it can happen. It we just need to go to the land department, like you rightly said, and after, of course, trying to negotiate with the customer, maybe the cycle time might be possible. We don't know actually.
Right, sir. And second, I just wanted to clarify the debt. I think earlier, if I heard it correctly, the guidance was about 700-800 crores of net debt at the end of the year. So can you just tell me what is the debt now, and then, how does the maths work out, because we'll get 900 crores from Dubai, and then how does it end up with 700 crores?
So, yeah, Amit, I will take up this question. As on date, we have a total external borrowings of around 1900 crores. We are projecting an inflows of around 850-900 crores from Dubai project and inflow of around 250 crores from our associate company, which will help us in reducing a total overall leveraging of around 1200 crores. So we will be standing at a position of around 700 crores as at the end of the year.
Perfect, sir. And the last question is on the GDP, I think on the real estate business. What type of I mean, what type of revenue recognition are we looking at for next 2-3 years? I mean, what type of deliveries? Pre-sales converting to accounting revenue.
Alok, you want to answer that question?
Yeah. So, as you know, Amit, in this real estate value chain, the longest time taken is to get all the approvals, and thereafter the RERA approval. So we are a development manager to the developer, where we are taking care of the project from concept to delivery, marketing and sales, and we charge a fee of the top line. So we expect that the DM mandates that we have, we expect that the revenue recognition is a fee-based recognition. So as we sell, we get a fee as a percentage of the sales value, and that is booked as an income. So that's unlike, let's say, you know, being a developer where the revenue is recognized on project completion method. Here it is a simple fee method. So we expect that these projects that we have signed up, other than the small ones which are like the Bangalore plotted development, which should be over in 18 months, the Hyderabad and Kolkata ones will take about 5 years for completion. And this revenue of the top line will be recognized over a period of 5 years, basis the sales velocity.
Right. So I'm just clarifying. So suppose in case we sell a unit of, say, you know, say 1 crore rupees, and our DM, you know, ratio is say 10%, then the revenue that we have, which is about 10 lakh, that is recognized over a period of 5 years till the project is delivered. Is that correct?
Yeah. What happens is, yeah, it is based on the total, the projects being large, they are phase-wise completions. So what happens is that as you complete a phase, you recognize the revenue fully, and our revenue is coming from the cash generation which the customer pays to the developer. So we are getting a portion of the revenue. So our revenue will be split over the construction-linked plan for the customer. So over that period of 3 to 4 years, we'll be getting for each apartment.
Understood. And what would be our EBITDA margin on that portion?
Typically, our being a service revenue, typically our EBITDA margins are in the range of about 70% to 75%.
Okay, great. Understood. Thank you. That's it from my end.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Suhani Singh from Seja Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. I just wanted to ask if the company has mentioned continued investment in technology and digital transformation. So which businesses are currently seeing the most tangible benefits from these initiatives?
I think two businesses come to my mind immediately. One is Zuari FinServ, where we expect a technology platform to help us distribute the financial products much faster and much more efficiently. The second business is Simon India, which is our engineering and construction company, where particularly on the engineering side, we are implementing a large number of digital tools which are allowing us to cut down the cycle time in engineering, and not only cut down the cycle time but also do very efficient engineering for our clients and efficient procurement. You'll be happy to know that Simon India has recently patented a tech tool, copyrighted tech tool. So I'm very happy to see that Simon India is developing in-house tech products to improve their own productivity and quality of work. But as I say this, I must say that our sugar division, which is a traditional business and not really known for too many digital innovations, has done exceedingly well. And there are a large number of digital tools already implemented in our sugar division. I keep mentioning about the Saksham app through which we connect with thousands of our farmers. We have GPS-enabled trucks, and through technology we monitor all the movement of the cane from 107 centers to the factory. We have handheld devices at each of the centers, so we have excellent visibility of how many tractors, trolleys, and even bullock carts they come to our centers, and what, how much cane is lying at which location. We have very good idea. We also did a very interesting experiment as far as agri equipment was concerned, is that we created an app and we allowed farmers to really trade amongst themselves. So it was a very interesting experiment, and I'm very happy to tell you that people made use of that app, and they utilized each other's equipment very effectively in our command area. So very interesting set of possibilities across our businesses, and very happy to share some more use cases. In fact, I would encourage my business heads to actually post some of these stories on their websites so that our investors can become better aware of whatever way we are embedding technologies in our businesses.
That's good to know, sir. Also, the company continues to maintain strategic investments across multiple listed entities. So how do you evaluate value creation opportunities from this portfolio over the long term?
See, I think you know, these are all legacy investments. You know, Zuari holds these strategic investments across these entities. So, and we have no intention of selling or churning these investments. In response to a question earlier, I commented on the performance of some of the underlying investments. They are not only strategic for us, but strategic for the country as well. Probably you have noted the consolidation of the fertilizer business of the group. A few years ago, we used to have three different entities, namely Zuari Agrochemicals, Bangalore Chemicals, and Paradeep Phosphates. They are now all consolidated under the PPL umbrella. And it's a very formidable franchise in three locations, all port-based, a lot of synergies in procurement and sales and production. So that's the kind of thing that we see, and we obviously will continue to hold these investments. We have a smallish shareholding in Chambal Fertilizers, which is also done quite well, Chambal. And what it does in its facility at Gadepan is quite amazing in the field of urea. So we definitely look forward to holding these investments.
Okay. Understood, sir. One last question. Can management share its broader vision for the real estate business over the next 3 to 5 years, particularly around the scale of development management portfolio?
So as I have mentioned in the previous calls, is that right now our focus is on growing this development management business. We started it some time ago, and we got some breakthroughs in Hyderabad and in Bangalore. Definitely, for the next several quarters, we will stay focused on this investment light fee-based model, which is the development management model. As Alok mentioned, this is a very interesting opportunity for us currently. But 2-3 years later, when we have deleveraged ourselves and we are in a position to allocate more capital to the real estate business, at that time we will see whether we can even do joint development or even access land banks if viable and attractive to us. But they're really into the future. at this time we are firmly focused on development management.
That helps, sir. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Soumya Raghuvanshi from Nirva Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. Looking ahead to FY27 and beyond, what are the company's strategic priorities across sugar, ethanol, real estate, engineering, and financial services? And how should investor view expected revenue, EBITDA, and PAT growth along with key operational expansion and deleveraging milestones?
So we are not presenting a three-year plan in this call, unfortunately. We are talking about largely the performance of the previous quarter as well as the last year, and sharing with you our view of what lies immediately ahead to the best of our ability. On an overall basis, we have mentioned this in the past and I have no problems in repeating, that we are looking for inorganic opportunities in the sugar sector. Our first priority was to fully optimize our current asset. It is an old asset. We had invested a fair bit of capital in that asset, but it was really not optimized. And as you probably noted in the earlier part of the call, we have reached a stage where we have reasonably optimized this asset. And a couple of pointers for us going forward is cost optimized, further cost optimization, greater technology deployment, and also looking at maybe profitable product mix in that business. So we will look for inorganic opportunities in sugar. In ethanol, our future expansion will come in the joint venture which we have set up. And we had set up, when we set up ZEBPL, we had said that we want to expand 2000 KLPD. But suddenly there were brakes on ethanol blending and there was tremendous amount of overcapacity in the sector. So in a sense, we have put those expansion plans on hold and we are first trying to stabilize the investment, which is the 180 KLPD distillery at Lakhimpur that we have set up. On the real estate side, as I mentioned earlier, we are growing our DM footprint. We are quite well known in southern part of the country, so you can expect us to do more projects in South India. We are doing two projects in Kolkata, as Mr. Banerjee mentioned earlier. So if we find some more opportunities there, we will take it up. But going forward, I think 2-3 years later, as I just mentioned to the previous person, there is always a possibility that like other real estate developers, we could be doing joint developments. We could even be buying an interesting property if it's available, but not immediately. Right now, the idea is to do as many projects in DM as possible. As regards to the financial services businesses, they are right now small businesses, profitable, but small. And we are trying to grow them. We are trying to use technology. And we see very interesting possibilities in both the businesses, particularly the insurance business. Both these businesses also require investment. And at this point in time, when we are trying to deleverage, I think we have to be very watchful about what kind of investments we make in these entities. So they will continue to deploy their own profits into their growth for the time being. And once we have kind of deleveraged ourselves, our focus will be on growing the sugar portfolio as well as the real estate portfolio, as I mentioned. So overall, qualitatively, and this is the picture that you can think of the group.
Okay, so got it. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, we take that as the last question. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Darshini Desai from MUFG Intime for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining this call. We really appreciate your participation. If you have any further questions, please feel free to reach out to us at MUFG Investor Relations. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Zuari Industries Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.